A reading from the Gospel according to Matthew, the 25th chapter, beginning at the 6th verse. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know ye not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." The lesson is clear, especially for those of you who know me well. We must all be prepared. And indeed, for those of you who know me really well, there is no doubt as to what my talk today would be on. So the founder of the scouting movement, Lord Baden-Powell of Gilwell, was once asked, "For what should a scout be prepared?" "Why, any old thing," he is said to have remarked. And that indeed ranges the gamut for being prepared to treat the occasional paper cut to the second coming. "Be prepared" is so well known, it almost seems cliché. Far more relevant to my life is the second part of the Scout Oath, to help other people at all times. This is an admonition I take most seriously. A brief example. I, in general, dislike swimming. It's so much work. You have to go to the swimming pool, change into your swim trunks, jump into the water, splash around for a bit. Then you get out of the water, you dry off, you have to change back into your normal clothes and get on with your life. Far too much work for my taste. Yet, I did not hesitate to sign up for a lifeguarding class when one was offered. It is because of this, the second part of the Scout Oath, that while at Harvard, I broadened my service to organizations other than scouting. And the rewards have been great. I teach CPR for the Red Cross, an activity that is simultaneously rewarding and frustrating. Rewarding, because empowering someone to save someone else's life is a very humbling moment. Frustrating, because I have yet to teach a class of more than 5 people. The frustration is obliterated knowing that there is a chance the skills I have taught others may very well save a life, but at the same time I am distressed that I can count the number of students in each class on one hand. And then there is my weakness, giving blood. For the past 4 years, I have seen posters in the yard and elsewhere advertising blood drives and encouraging me to give blood. It took me until this past December to finally bite the bullet and give blood. It took an hour, but that was one of the most rewarding hours I have spent. At the end of the Lankley process, I was shown the pint of blood that I had just donated. Still somewhat woozy from having been a donor, I held it in my hand, pondering both whether a pint's a pound the world around, and the healing process and the healing power of this blood that I held in my hand. Turns out it can save 3 different people. Yet the national blood supply is at terribly low levels. In my role as president of Harvard Friends of Scouting, I attend meetings of the Public Service Network, a program run out of Phillips Brooks House, whose purpose is to improve communication between public service groups that are not under the PBHA umbrella. At these meetings, the question that is asked the most is, how can we get more volunteers? The Crimson last year wrote a series of articles on the class of 2006 and how it wasn't flocking to Phillips Brooks House as was expected. At the same time, university administrators suggested that perhaps the college was placing too much of an emphasis on extracurricular activities and not enough on the classroom. President Summers was keen to ensure that Harvard was not a summer camp. Having served on the staff of summer camp for 7 years, I feel I can say with some degree of certainty that Harvard is not a summer camp. The grounds are far too landscaped for that. Summer camp does not grant tenure. Though I must add, with apologies to those present, that perhaps there's a similarity between the handicrafts department and our own DES. Ooh. Long pause. All joking aside, this is a serious matter. My life has been so enriched by community service, it is impossible to imagine my life without that facet of it. And I have been transformed in a relatively short amount of time. I can recall, as a bright-eyed first year, imagining how nice my house would be with my millions earned from my Harvard education. Now, after 2 years of service on this church's grants committee, I imagine what good millions could do to various community service organizations. It is a powerful transformation that I have experienced. What is sad, of course, is how few people on this campus seem to have experienced it. With a curricular review now in the works, serious attention needs to be paid to the role of community service in the college. That someone can go 4 years at Harvard without lending a helping hand at least once is unconscionable. If we are to develop into good citizens, we must not only know who our neighbor is, but also recognize that as good citizens, it is our duty to help those of our neighbors who are in need. Harvard students can, should, and must do more, be it donating blood, volunteering with one of the many worthy campus service organizations, or preparing themselves to be better citizens by taking a CPR class. By doing so, we can come closer to Fosdick's second coming. I'm prepared. Are you? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you have blessed us with gifts beyond our merit. Help us use these gifts to assist those in need, and for thy love for all mankind to be evident in our actions. Make us instruments of your love, and keep us ever mindful of the needs of others. In your name we pray. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.